Welcome to Bible Hack. Hacking at its core is about taking something and working it into your life. Lifehacker website is a great example of this, looking at how you can improve your life by hacking ideas and things into it. So this podcast is aimed at helping to hack the Bible into our lives. My name's Andrew, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and I hope that this podcast helps you hack the Bible into your life. Well, I'll answer all the main question to start with, and that's why I'm wearing a tie. Because am I the only person wearing a tie here this morning? Anybody else wearing a tie, put your hand up. Now, when I was given this tie, we all wore ties to church. And so this tie I'm wearing it this morning is actually to honour a friend who passed away recently in the US. He came to my church 25 years ago. And we connected really well, and I said I liked his tie, and he just took it off and gave it to me. But he really impacted my life heavily at that time, and he was a recruiter for a Christian college, and he passed away recently from a heart attack. And it was amazing on Facebook to see the number of lives that he impacted, as people just on his page on Facebook said, oh no, and just told their story about the impact he had of getting them into a Christian college in the US. And the way it set them up for their life and impacted them. So this is why I wore a tie this morning, and I'm going to reference it a bit later on, but it's in reference to Gail and the impact he had on my life and sowing seeds into my life. And we're speaking this morning about sowing seeds from Matthew chapter 13. I love this story. I love this parable. In Matthew, it's the first parable that Jesus tells. It's just a great story, and one of the reasons I like it is because it opens up the opportunity as a disciple of Jesus to ask questions. We've just had a month of having questions answered from the front. And in this passage, Jesus answers the disciples' question when they ask about parables. Now, what is a parable? It's a story with an alternate meaning. So often said it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And so we have this parable in Matthew. So to set the scene, the parable, it's probably Jesus is somewhere around Nazareth. He's just had a big conversation with his family, and his brother and sister and his mother have come and they've spoken to him. And so it's probably around Nazareth somewhere. And he's in the house and the crowds are gathering. They want to hear what he's got to say today. And so he goes out of the house and he goes down to the beach at the lake. And it says that he got into a boat. And from this platform of a boat, he kind of created his own little amphitheater. And he shared this parable. And I'll read some extracts from it for you. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat. And he sat there and he taught. As the people stood on the shore, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seed fell on the footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon withered under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as they had planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came to him and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use parables. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer. planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as they had planted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that speaks into our life, that brings light and sows into our lives. Lord, we pray that this morning we'll have eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying out of this passage to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So there's one thing that has to happen if we're going to get a crop. You've got to sow the seed. If you don't sow the seed, it's not much going to grow. You're not going to get the results you want. Most farmers would be able to tell you that. You can't get what you don't plant. But what fascinated me about this story is, why didn't the farmer pick where he scattered the seed? Why didn't he know that that's my field and I've prepared that ground and I will sow the seed? I would have thought that's fairly kind of normal practice for a farmer. I would imagine today they don't go and just drive down the road and randomly scatter their seed as they were going along. But I pondered this. It doesn't seem efficient to just throw it willy-nilly. But then I realized the story that Jesus was telling, the parable. What's the heavenly meaning behind the story? Well, of course, Jesus is saying we need to scatter seed everywhere. Every person matters. Every opportunity. Did you notice Ken's message this morning? On holidays, he had this incredible encounter and changed someone's life. He didn't switch off. It's one of the great things I like about Ken. It's just Ken. It's not a show. It's not a job. It's Ken. No matter where he's on holidays or wherever he is, he's Ken. And he does what God's made him to be. But I just had this, I was kind of wrestling with it. Why didn't he just sow the seed and get all of his seed growing properly? Because Jesus is saying everybody matters. The people on the path matter. The people with the weeds matter. The people with the rocks matter. It's not for certain people. It's not for an exclusive set. It's for all people. And the Bible tells us that Jesus died for all. So what can we learn from the seed that fell on the path? We need to keep the message clear. We can't cloud the message with debate that doesn't matter. We need to keep the message clear. And the way we keep the message clear is by being witnesses. In Matthew, in the Great Commission, we're called to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. We're called to be witnesses. Now, when you go to court, you're not allowed to tell someone else's story. When you go to court, you can only tell as a witness your story. This is what I saw. This is what happened to me in this event. And that's what Jesus is asking from us. Tell our story. Not Ken's story, not Neil's story, not Brett's story. Our story. And how much clearer the story is when we tell our story. We're not called to be like Billy Graham. I remember when I was 17, I preached my first message. I tried to emulate the people that I'd seen preach before, even the way they stood and held their Bible. And you can't do it that way. You've got to do it your way. We need to be witnesses. We need to tell our story to keep it clear. And this is what the courses, the equipping course is designed to give you, that's run by this church, to help you form your story so that the message can be clear. It doesn't kind of bring you in to give you a story. It comes to help you form your story. I encourage that to you if that's an area you need to hone and to shape a little bit better. We're spreading seeds. We need to tell our story, and we can learn to do this better. The next one is the rocks, and we've got to pick up the rocks. We've got to clear the ground. We moved into our home 7 years ago in May. And there's a whole story of God opening up that door. It shouldn't have been possible, I don't think. In the middle of the global financial crisis, for a contractor to get a loan was very difficult. And God really opened that door. And we were just talking last night that we don't take our home for granted because God gave it to us. But when we got into this home, the ground wasn't so good for the gardens. Not very big, but it still wasn't very good. And if you ask any of the team of our friends that came to visit one weekend and help us prepare the garden, I just had back surgery, so I couldn't do anything. I was hobbling around still, and I couldn't lift a finger to help. I think I cooked sausages and baked bread because I could stand at the kitchen and do those things. But there was rocks, and there was brick, and there was gravel, and there was just garbage in the soil. It was terrible. But when you see what, with the help of our friends in clearing out the rocks and the surreptitious borrowing of a bobcat by Paul. Thanks, Paul Thomas. And it made a difference. And now we have roses that are still blooming now. I thought roses had finished by now, but they're this tall, and the plants grow, and of course the grass likes it too. But we have to get rid of that. That's next slide, sorry. But we're going to pick up the rocks. We're going to help people get the rocks. It's actually the seed that falls on the rocks that actually hits me most in this passage. Because the plant grows. It's real. They have salvation. They have faith. They have relationship with Jesus Christ. It's real. But it withers and dies because it can't get its roots down to nutrients. It's blocked by the rocks in the soil. That's tragic. That is absolutely tragic. It's our job to clear the rocks. Help people clear the rocks. And that's what GTM and More of Equip do. That's what life groups do. They help people clear the rocks. If people come to Christ, they don't know. They hear the message. It sounds good. And in being created to be in God's image, the seed takes root, but there's all that rock in their life. And the roots can't go down. They don't know. We've got to help them. We've got to walk with people. We've got to talk with people and help them clear the rocks out of their life. We've got to. And I believe that love is one of the things that makes the big difference in helping people clear the rocks out of their life. I also believe that clearing the rocks out of the blockages out of the way of people coming to Christ is getting harder to do as we see George Pell again in the news this week. And we see the Royal Commission finding things out about Christian institutions and the way we have looked after kids is putting rocks in the world that is going to stop them coming to Christ. We have to work harder at responding in love and dealing with these rocks in the world. We have to be a difference in the world. We have to show a difference, not just be the same. I think that's the tragedy that's coming out of these royal commissions. We've just been the same as the world. Well, we're seen that way. It's tragic. We've got to get back to what Jesus is calling us to be, and that is get rid of the rocks so that the seed can take root and there is no blockage to anyone coming to Christ and anyone enter into deep, solid relationship. People shouldn't fall away. And after we've cleared the rocks, we need to keep clearing the weeds. Again, it's what GTM does. It's what life groups are about. We need to intercede and stand in the gap. It's what the prayer team does here every morning as they come and they stand in the gap with people. And they clear the weeds out of people's lives. We need to do it. We need to continue our generous giving to the Humanitarian Fund. So that as a church we can fight the battles for people, that we can clear the weeds of their life. We need to present an alternative. I love the Christmas illustration because I've got a Christmas illustration in my message. Okay, hold on to your hats. 175 are the days till Christmas. That woo was from my daughter. We love Christmas at our house. But we have to redeem Christmas. Now, you can't redeem Christmas if you only start thinking about it the week before Christmas, which is why I put the illustration in. If we're going to change people's and change the world's perception of Christmas, we need to get control of it in our own lives. So start thinking about how Christmas can be redeemed in your house. Decorate with meaning, not just with lights. Make sure you're investing in Advent, that period from the 1st of December. We've got the Advent calendars. It's not just about opening the window to get chocolates. What can you do that makes a difference? If you come into our house at Advent, you will see on our fridge a memory verse growing because it comes out of our Advent calendar. So do lollies. It's okay to have fun too. But from day one, we've taught our kids, and we all do it. They don't rush off and do it on their own. We do it as a family, and we build a memory verse into our Christmas. I have always done a Bible reading for Advent. One year I did all of the Gospels. Big call in a busy time of the year, but achievable. But you realize Luke is just 24 chapters long? It's perfect. One chapter a day from the start to the finish. And from the start to the finish of Advent, you focus your mind and your devotion onto Jesus. That's what the story's about. And you finish Christmas Eve at the end of Luke, having done the death and resurrection. And you reclaim Christmas to be about Jesus. If you come to our house Christmas morning, you'll find the Christmas story being read, sometimes with enacted voices and the knitted nativity scene that my mum has done. We did it once for the kids when they're little, and it keeps getting requested. But we bring that in. Presents don't happen until the story's done. If we don't show a difference as a church, if we're just, oh, I hate Christmas, it's so busy, what a terrible time. If that's our attitude, how do we expect the world to be any different? They've got Christmas, yes, it's commercialized, but if we don't redeem it to make it a spiritual experience, how are they going to know any different? They should say, why are you so calm? Because it's about the light of the world coming, and I'm excited about celebrating that this is about Jesus coming, and we can sow seeds. We've got to make a difference. We've got to be different. The pressure of the world and finances are strong. It's hard to get above these pressures. But if we press into Jesus, like Ken preached last week, I thought he was going to steal my sermon, but he didn't, he only used it a little bit. If we press into Jesus and his standards and his processes and his life, finances can become clear and we can understand them and they can stop being the burden that they can so easily be. The next thing that we must do is plow the fields. We've got to prepare people's lives for the gospel. But plowing takes time. And you don't see the harvest just because you've ploughed the field. But I think it's so important that we are just friends with people. I spoke to a young lady once who had a friend who came to Christ after 8 years. They were just friends. They met in a prenatal class, and then that turned into a mother's group after the babies were all born. And they just became friends. There was no church involvement. They just became friends. And when this lady became a Christian some 8 years later, she said, if you had shoved the gospel in my face or invited me to church, I would have run a mile. No way known I'd have been your friend. It was the fact that you're my friend with no conditions, no strings attached, that led me to where I am today. That was 8 years of just plowing friendship into a life, preparing the soil. Maybe getting rid of some rocks along the way or clearing out some weeds. But the soil was fertile when the seed landed in it at God's timing. Be prepared to plow Be prepared for the journey. Be prepared to take time. I think too often we allow the influence of the world that runs so fast and change happens quickly. I'm a geek. I like technology and change as much as everybody. Probably more than most people. But that, I think God's calling us to be marathon runners, not sprinters. God's calling us to run like a marathon runner who seems to be sprinting the whole way, but in the Olympic marathon, they run across the line and after a long period of time. Not like the sprinters who run 100 metres and are exhausted and collapse on the track after 100 metres. God's looking for long-term farmers who will sow seed over a long period of time. So plough the fields. Plough the fields. It's commonly attributed to Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. And I think too often we just want to kind of say the thing and move on. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. I believe that every activity of the church is about these purposes. They drive what we do as a community. They should be driving what we do as individuals. From those who help the gardens look magnificent, and they do look great. They are helping plough the field. They're helping remove rocks. They're helping to remove blockages of people. When people come into our church, they think, oh, this is a bit scungy. I think I'll go somewhere else. MCG looks nicer when you walk in than this does. It looks magnificent. It doesn't look any better or worse than anywhere else. There isn't a blockage there. And they show that we're people that care. To those on the admin team that serve each of the ministries of this church and each of the people that ring or call, they're helping to plant the seed, to plough the fields, to remove the rocks and the weeds. Each and every ministry that we're involved in. So I thought it would be fun to list them all off. Now hopefully this slide works. I haven't even seen the screens. The gardening, the welcoming team, GTM, prayer ministry, kids church, Living Springs Counselling Centre, prison fellowship, gardening. Well, gardening got in there twice. It's really important too. Well, we're talking about planting seeds. Life Keys, Boys Brigade, Women's Ministry, maintenance, chaplaincy, preaching, middies, life plan, child sponsorship, Connect Lounge, Tech Arts, Food Pantry, Fuse, Samaritan's Purse, Intercessors, Equipping Training, Search, Chips, Playgroups, Acts, Railway Outreach, Gideon's, MOPS, Friendship Groups, Life Keys, Southern Cross Kids Camps, Admin Team, Meals, Creative Arts, Bringing Christmas to Life, Forge, The Marriage Course, Alpha, Eldership, Missions Trips, Pastoral Care, Men's Ministry. It's a pretty full slide. They're all things that are either ministries in this church or things that people in this church go and do to sow the seed, to plough the field, to remove the rocks, to clear the weeds. And they're just really scratching the surface. What about all the coffees that are had? The love that is given through chats and friendship, through neighbours and sporting clubs, camera clubs, whatever it is that you do, wherever you go, you scatter seed. Had Gail, the guy that gave me the tie, been alive today and here, he would have sung this song for me. But being that I, as my daughter has told me, sing well till the sound comes out, I will read it. She's right. He's not being nasty, it's true. It's by Ray Bolts, and it's Thank You. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard these angels singing, And then someone called your name. You turned and saw a young man. And he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. And then another man stood before you and said, 'Remember the time? A missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.' One by one they came, as far as your eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you had made, they were unnoticed on earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. We need to plant seeds. They make a difference in lives. We may not see the difference. God will pull in the harvest. But Jesus doesn't call us to harvest. He calls us to plant seeds. We're called to be a witness, to tell our story. I can't tell Ken's, I can't tell Neil's or Brett's. I can only tell my story. We must plant seeds, keep our message simple, pick up rocks, clear weeds, plow fields, and let God harvest. All of the things we do, that slide was, best thing I've done the last 2 weeks was put that slide together and realize just how much we do. This isn't a message to say you're not doing it. It's a message to say you're doing it, do it more, do it better. If you feel you're looking for something to get involved with, I think there's something on the slide for you. Everybody has a gift that can get involved in one of those things. Sow seeds. One day we may just walk beside the crystal sea and be amazed by what God did with the seed we sowed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives, for all that you have given us. And we pray that we will be faithful to sow the seed into the lives of others, knowing that you will faithfully reap the harvest. Lord, help us clear the rocks, cut down the weeds, that nobody will stand alone. That we will fight the spiritual battle, knowing that you've won. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks. You've been listening to Bible Hack by Andrew Snook. I pray that this has helped you learn something about God and encourage you to read the scriptures for yourself. If this podcast has been of value to you, you're more than welcome to leave me a comment or donate via Patreon.